I'd guess most people remember reading Lolita for the first time. I do. Freshman fall in college. It was 1989, and I had just turned 18. I curled up under my Laura Ashley knockoff floral comforter and cracked Lolita open for Professor Jim Shepherd's English 101 class. The story moved swiftly. It was electrifying. I could not put it down. I did not question that it was Lolita who seduced Humbert first. I believed that Humbert loved her. I somehow did not catch most of her tears. Dare I admit, Lolita pinged me with romantic longing. Professor Shepherd was young, mustached, and uproariously funny. His recitation in class of Humbert Humbert's lines in cartoonish voices made us belly laugh at the outrageousness of this loser's confessions, many of which we had missed in our own readings. And in this way, the scariness of what H.H. was confessing to lost some of its power. Shepherd played Humbert like Groucho Marx might do Dracula. In an exaggerated voice, he deftly dropped in the games Humbert was playing as narrator and illuminated both his shocking self-exoneration and, in a much quieter voice, nearly a whisper that Shepherd used far less often, the devastating moments of self-indictment. I don't remember thinking of Lolita as being much younger than I was. I didn't imagine her, as she actually is in the novel, a child of 12. But more like a willful 16, more like me. One day after class, I stayed behind. I told Professor Shepherd, "My dad published Lolita." The classroom now empty, his costume off, the show over. Professor Shepherd reacted with quiet surprise. In a strange way, it felt almost like I was confessing. "My father, Walter Minton, published the first American edition of Lolita in August 1958 when he was the brashly successful president of G.P. Putnam's Sons." Vladimir Nabokov had already published a few books in America, but they had failed to attract readers. Nabokov completed the novel in 1954, but he could not find an American publisher willing to take it on until Walter Minton found him in 1957. At this point, five American publishers had rejected the novel, Pascal Covici of Viking Press claiming, "We would all go to jail if the thing were published." And he wasn't joking, not really. The McCarthy era was winding down, and lots of publishers and writers had been recently prosecuted. Publishing Lolita was a radical act then. I think it would be today, too. Until that day in class with Professor Shepherd, I had never mentioned my father's history with Vladimir Nabokov to anyone. Part of the reason was typical teenage self-absorption. I believed my teachers and professors were the literary experts, and not my old, retired father many miles away. It's possible a part of me already knew I'd follow my father into book publishing one day, and that I would need my own literary compass to succeed. Not his, no matter how much I loved and admired him. But how to find such a thing? The question was akin to asking, but how to grow up? Ignoring the tower of my father and Nabokov was the far easier path for many years, even though I was raised in the house Lolita built. Rereading Lolita at the age of 46 in 2018 as a mother of three teenagers was just as indelible an experience as it was for me 30 years ago in my college dorm room. But for very different reasons, of course. In midlife, I read Lolita with discomfort and disbelief tinged with sadness, with shock. I read it more like Catherine White of The New Yorker, who wrote in her rejection letter of Lolita circa 1955, "I don't suppose anyone like me, with five potential nymphettes in the family, would not find the book uncomfortable." It made me nervous that Nabokov's poetic writing is so erotically charged. Lolita's utterly contemporary dialogue, her gum-chewing, knee-bouncing boredom surprised and impressed me. And Humbert's obvious broad daylight confessions further unsettled me. How did I miss every single one of those at 18?